I'm RJ by Greenway Parks. This is TobielPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, just one sunny mile from Love Field. Today is Thursday, the 25th of December. Merry, Merry Christmas. On this date, in 496, Clovis I, King of the Franks, is baptized into the Catholic faith. In 800, the coronation in Rome of Charlemagne as Holy Roman Emperor. 1000, Hungary is established as a Christian kingdom by Stephen I. 1066, William the Conqueror, Duke of Normandy, is crowned King of England at Westminster Abbey. 1776, Washington and his men cross the Delaware at Trenton and surprises the Hessian mercenaries, getting the first and much-needed victory against colonial oppressors. 1914, 100 years ago today, all along the Western Front in the First World War, happened one of the most important events in the history of modern warfare, the so-called Christmas Truce. Starting on Christmas Eve, the German side started putting up little Christmas trees over their trenches with candles and singing Silent Night in German. Of course, the Brits responded with some carols. The next morning, a German or two came up over the line into the no man's land. A Brit or two responded, all very nervous, hands held up high in the air. And soon, all along the front, men were chatting, exchanging badges, chocolates, presents, tea, cigarettes, and coffee. It lasted all day. And for the men who participated, it was one of the most memorable days of their lives. The generals were, of course, very worried, because what if the soldiers just refused to fight? And this continued. Those troops were not punished, because there were plenty of officers involved as well, but they were rotated away from the front as quickly as possible. At that point in the war, several hundred thousand men had already died, but for a whole day, 100 years ago today, peace broke out. It can happen. 1941, British surrender Hong Kong. 1946, the first in Europe artificial self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction is initiated with the Soviet F-1 nuclear reactor. 1962, the movie To Kill a Mockingbird comes out. In 1968, Apollo 8 performs the first successful orbit of the moon in preparation for the landing. 1989, deposed president of Romania, Nicolae Ceaușescu, and his wife are condemned to death and executed. 1991, Gorbachev resigns as president of the Soviet Union, and Ukraine withdraws from the USSR. Birthdays today are Clara Barton, Humphrey Bogart, Cab Calloway, Anwar Sadat, Karl Rove, and Dido. It's me, Mark Mullen. No Georgian Journal and Creedy's Polytro this week. Thanks again for those posting to our forum. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tobielpod.com or send us an email at tobielpod@gmail.com. By the way, Tobielpod was mentioned in a newsletter called Hot Pod. The guy said, and I quote, "I've been wandering around and poking at anything interesting I can find. Most recently, I found this English podcast about Georgia, the country. It's called Tobielpod, TBL in reference to Tbilisi, Georgia's capital, and the host just talks about the country, stuff that's happening there and its politics. The podcast appears to be recorded on the West Coast, California, I believe, and it's just fascinating." End quote. Anyway, check it out. We'll put up the link. The death of a Georgian citizen fighting in the war in eastern Ukraine has been much discussed. 32-year-old volunteer Alexandre Grigolashvili was killed in the town of Sitskaya in Luhansk region on the 19th of December, fighting for Kiev. A public service commemorating Grigolashvili was held in the center of Kiev on the 20th of December. Misha was there, as was Member of Parliament Gia Baramidze and Georgia's ambassador to Ukraine, Mikhail Kleba. Georgia's Ministry of Defense expressed condolences over Grigolashvili's death in a statement released on the 20th of December. It also said that, quote, "representatives of Georgia's former authorities," end quote, "are to be blamed for his death because they are encouraging Georgians to fight in Ukraine." The statement continues, quote, "The Ministry of Defense calls on citizens not to yield to provocation and not to endanger their own lives in exchange of various offers," end quote. It seems that the Ministry of Defense statement was referring to a row with Misha earlier in the month. Misha said that many Georgian officers were willing to fight for Ukraine. He accused Georgia's Ministry of Defense of being pro-Russian, so that, quote, "many Georgian officers are left without an option but to go and continue their service in friendly Ukraine, which fights a war against Georgia's enemies," end quote. The Ministry of Defense responded on the 7th of December that Misha's allegations were groundless and irresponsible propaganda. The Ministry of Defense's 20th of December statement was widely condemned by both Georgian Dream opposition and opposition national movement politicians. There's also criticism of the new defense minister, Mindya Janelidze. UNM Member of Parliament Goka Gabashvili said, quote, "I can't recall any defense minister since Georgia's independence who would have signed such an unscrupulous statement," end quote. Giga Bokeria said that the defense minister, quote, "expresses the interests of another country," end quote, obviously referring to Russia. Member of Parliament Dr. Berzanashvili of the Republican Party and Member of Parliament Eliso Chapidze of Georgian Dream, Democratic Georgia, both said there should not be political aspects to the Ministry of Defense's statement. A member of the Tbilisi Sakrabulo, David Zurabashvili, who's also from the Republicans, condemned the statement as shameful, immoral, and anti-state. A group of protesters gathered outside the Ministry of Defense on the afternoon of the 21st of December, calling for the resignation of Defense Minister Janelidze. They waved Georgian and Ukrainian flags. Former Defense Minister Irakli Alassania condemned that. Any self-respecting state should have respect for its heroes who fell in a fight against the enemy, no matter where they died. Prime Minister Irakli Garibashvili said that he, too, doesn't like the statement, that he spoke to the defense minister about it, and that he, too, regrets it. He asked anyone not to dramatize things. Everyone makes mistakes, and he is sure that the Ministry of Defense will apologize. A few hours after Garibashvili's comment, Ministry of Defense removed the statement from its website. The defense ministry then tried to shift the blame to lower employees. Speaking to Imedi TV on the evening of the 21st of December, Deputy Defense Minister Levon Girsiashvili said that neither him nor the Defense Minister Janelidze were aware in advance that such a text was going to be released, that the Ministry of Defense leadership knew there would be a condolence statement, but not the rest. The text was prepared by lower-level Ministry of Defense officials, employees, that a mistake was made, that there was a shortcoming in management. Those who made the mistake will be held accountable. You believe that the Ministry of Defense did not agree to such a, the Minister of Defense did not agree to such a statement prior to its release, and there's still no word from the Minister, Janelidze, who is drawing criticism from politicians demanding his resignation. On the 24th of December, Prime Minister Garibashvili again called on everyone to put an end to such talk and hysteria. Following up on last week's story on mining work resulting in Sakhtarysi and the subsequent public outcry, President Mark Garibashvili weighed in on the 19th of December statement. He said that carrying out mining activity while court proceedings are still underway is inadmissible. The same day, youth activists demonstrated at Tbilisi State University and demanded a stop to the mining work and to restore Sakhtarysi's cultural heritage status. Earlier, on the 18th of December, NGOs launched a petition addressed to Speaker of Parliament Dato Usupashvili, asking for an independent investigation. They underlined that a Tbilisi City Court ruling, RMG Gold, still doesn't have permission to carry out large-scale work at the Sakhtarysi site. The NGO said it's impossible to trust law enforcement agencies on this issue since the destruction of the 13th of December took place under police supervision. Among the signatory organizations are GILA, IDFI, Green Alternative, and Tiflis Hamkari. Then, on the 20th of December, Prime Minister Garibashvili mentioned the Sakhtarysi issue. He said that the stir over Sakhtarysi was caused by a small interest group, which often tried to benefit from grants for archaeological research. He dismissed the allegations against the government that it is disregarding the country's cultural heritage as very irresponsible and groundless. He continued that the livelihood of the 3,000 employees working for RMG, and in effect the entire Bolnisi municipality, should not fall victim to a sterile archaeological site, in his words. Then, the next day, on the 21st of December, youth activists continued to protest and gathered outside the house of Prime Minister Garibashvili, saying his statement was wrong. The students then walked from the Prime Minister's house to the old Parliament building. They continued by walking to the government office and held a rally there, and are also holding concerts outside. They also want to launch a criminal investigation into the explosion which destroyed the site. From what I have heard, there was an explosion that destroyed the archaeological site. It was unnecessary for mining work, but was done in order to make the protests irrelevant. But I don't know. If anybody hears anything, please let us know about that. On the 23rd of December, workers from Sakhtarysi mine came and protested in Tbilisi outside the presidential palace. They demanded a meeting with President Mark Garibashvili to discuss his statement that it is unacceptable to continue the mining work. When he didn't meet them, they marched to the government building and demanded a meeting with the prime minister instead. The RMG Gold employees explained that the suggestion that work be stopped would mean that they would all be unemployed. They said all locals in Bolnisi are demanding that the mining work continues, otherwise the region would be paralyzed. A spokesman for the protesters said that if work is halted, the entire Bolnisi population will come to Tbilisi to protest because RMG Gold is financing the region. On the 22nd of December, many journalists and employees at Maestro TV quit their job in protest against what they say is interference with the independence of their news reporting. First, journalist Nino Gigilashvili was fired from her position as head of Maestro's news department after a phone conversation with one of the TV company's owners, who told her that the channel should be more pro-Georgia. She said that in this context, pro-Georgian really means to be anti-Western. Controversy grew at the station when rumors went around that journalist Koka Kandiashvili was going to be taking over the show. He's currently a communications consultant for the Georgian Dream government. Maestro journalists said that they believed Kandiashvili would exert influence on the station that would restrict their independence. Among the journalists who resigned are Vasiko Odishvili, who has a daily comedy show on Maestro where he criticizes both the government and opposition. The remaining staff that did not quit said in a statement that they were promised by management there won't be any changes in the company's editorial policy. The channel's co-owner, Kote Gogelia, has not commented yet. On the 18th of December, Putin gave his annual end-of-the-year news conference in Moscow. Among the things talked about were relations with Georgia. He said he would be glad to welcome the Georgian leadership to Moscow for talks if Tbilisi finds it possible. Putin also made funny remarks about Misha, saying that Misha is, quote, currently on the run, and that, by the way, we have nothing to do with it, meaning Russians. The current Georgian authorities make him run all around the world like a person with lice chased from a banya. As far as I know, he hasn't even been granted a work visa in the U.S., end quote. He later added that, quote, we see that there is no end to internal political struggles there in Georgia, end quote. Putin drew parallels between the 2008 war and 1919 about Georgia declaring independence and Abkhazia wanting to stay with Russia, saying Georgia should learn the consequences from its own history and negotiate instead. On the 20th of December, Prime Minister Khatibashvili said he's ready for a meeting with Putin if such a meeting is properly prepared with the aim of producing tangible results. He affirmed that the Georgian government is a decision maker and I personally will take part in such a meeting. That was a quote. I, Mark Mullen, will not take place in that meeting, but Khatibashvili was saying that. On the 19th of December, activists from the campaign This Affects You Too demonstrated on Rustaveli Avenue in Tbilisi. The campaign is protesting against the Interior Ministry's illegal eavesdropping on citizens and against the legislative amendments passed in late November, appallingly sponsored by the Human Rights Committee in Ekabaselia. It allows security agencies to retain direct access to telecoms operators' networks. The activists vowed to continue the campaign through various forms, and they said they will try to overturn the legislation, regulations in the Constitutional Court. The head of the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, Eka Gigaoti, said a lawsuit is being prepared claiming that the legislation violates privacy, the rights of privacy enshrined in the Constitution, by the way. On the 22nd of December, Vladislav Surkov, the Russian president's aide in charge of overseeing Moscow's relations with Abkhazia and South Ossetia, was in Tsikhin Valley to discuss the planned treaty, quote, on alliance and integration, end quote, with South Ossetia and Russia. He said he believes the treaty will be signed in early 2015, and he sure ought to know. Meeting with the region's leader, Leonid Tibilov, he said that, quote, the difficult economic situation in Russia will not be an obstacle for fulfilling our obligations, end quote. Earlier this year, Tibilov expressed a desire for the region's actual extension into Russia. The draft agreement with South Ossetia outlined much deeper integration of the region with Russia than the one signed between Moscow and Sukhumi. It outlines the defense, security, law enforcement, and customs agencies of South Ossetia should become part of the relevant ministries and agencies of the Russian Federation. Meanwhile, Surkov also pledged that Russia's investment program for South Ossetia will proceed as planned, which entails more than $50 million from the Russian budget. a bargain at any price. Official Tbilisi condemned the planned treaty. The foreign ministry called on the international community to take all possible measures to prevent the annexation of South Ossetia by Russia, saying it is a violation of international law. And on a similar note, also on the 22nd of December, Abkhazia's parliament ratified the strategic cooperation agreement with Russia. According to RIA Novosti, 28 deputies voted for and 5 were against. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 20th of December, Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili said that he told Ukrainian leadership that their close ties with Misha and his allies, as well as their appointing some former Georgian officials in the Ukrainian government, was damaging bilateral relations. He said that Adeshvili, quote, was one of the architects of the criminal regime, end quote, and Ekaz Guladze was, quote, one of the justifiers of that regime for years, end quote. That and Sandro Kvitashvili, quote, actually destroyed the Georgian healthcare system, end quote. And on that note, according to the Ukrainian media, this Commission for Citizenship Issues has recommended 2 more Georgians for Ukrainian citizenship, David Sakvaralidze and Gizo Ugulava. Rumor is they too will hold positions in the Ukrainian government. On the 22nd of December, President Margvelashvili met separately with the leaders of the parliamentary opposition party UNM and Free Democrats. The meetings are part of his initiative announced on the 24th of November to build broad consensus on how to make concrete steps to counter Russian annexation moves. The UN Security Council had a wrap-up session on the 22nd of December. A number of countries expressed support for Georgia, the U.S. and U.K., Lithuania condemned the Russian-Abkhazia treaty. Estonia's new foreign minister, Kate Pentus-Rosimannus, visited Tbilisi on the 19th of December. She met with Foreign Minister Berezashvili, Prime Minister Kharibashvili, and President Margvelashvili, and reiterated her country's support for Georgia's Euro-Atlantic integration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She also expressed hope that there will be positive decisions on visa liberalization with Georgia at the EU's Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga in May. She also granted an e-residency to Foreign Minister Berezashvili. Lithuanian diplomat Kestutis Jankauskas was appointed as the new head of the EU monitoring mission in Georgia. He served as Lithuania's ambassador to NATO since 2011. As a reminder, last week the EU extended the mandate of the EUMM for 2 years until December 2016. And on that note, on the 20th of December, 2 Georgian citizens were kidnapped from Gori villages for allegedly crossing the administrative border with South Ossetia in separate incidents. The 2 men were both herding cattle that were grazing. According to the Interior Ministry, 1 man was released on the 23rd of December, and they are still negotiating for the release of the other. On the 21st of December, BI was invited as a guest on the public broadcaster TV show Farewell to Arms, where he talked about everything from yoga to rugby. Some of the things he did say, and I quote, "One of the most tragic things was opening our borders. People became aware that they can live in a cruel country and saw for themselves that people are living a lot better elsewhere," end quote. He also said, quote, "We must not insult Russia. We should do our best to begin to cohabitate with this country. And during this cohabitation, we shouldn't think only of our own interests, but of the other party's interests as well," end quote. No argument there. On the 23rd of December, the government approved the staff for the Association Council, which was created under the Association Agreement with the EU. It is responsible for monitoring and supervising the implementation of the Association Agreement. The council will be led by Prime Minister Kharibashvili. The Council of Europe and European Commission are going to boost financial assistance to Georgia, as well as Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Moldova, and Ukraine, in the fields of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. They signed a new cooperation agreement in Brussels on the 18th of December. The agreement is worth 33.8 million euros and will cover the period 2015 to 17. Public defender Nanuashvili released a news report of the 22nd of December about the bad condition of Geguti prison in western Georgia. He said that the safety regulations in the place are not sufficient to prevent violence between the prisoners. There's no program to help avert inmates from committing suicide. Wait times are long to see a prison doctor. Patients are sometimes not offered proper treatment. In the observation room, staff are working without sanitary standards. Prisoners who are serving shorter sentences are not allowed physical contact with their family. Not all prisoners have 4 square meters of living space. The ventilation system is damaged. There's an insufficient supply of goods in the prison shop, and prisoners don't have access to sporting grounds. According to Ukraine's Interior Ministry in 2015, Ukraine's patrol police will be reformed in a way similar to Georgia's, and they will use an electronic system and video footage for fining traffic law violations. On the 22nd of December, refugees living in an abandoned military base in Batumi broke into the yard of the Jara Supreme Council and demanded to meet the council head. The demonstrators shouted, "Come out and take care of us." We all know what that means. They complained about difficult conditions in the makeshift settlement. The protesters then blocked the road to Chakvi Batumi for 10 minutes in protest when council head Avtandil Beridze and the head of the Human Rights Commission, Medea Vasadze, didn't come out to meet them. According to the Ministry of Defense, 20-year-old recruit Nikolos Ugulava was found dead at his post by his squad commander earlier this week. He had a gunshot wound to the head. An investigation is underway under Article 115 of the Criminal Code, provoking a person to commit suicide. The Military Police Division of the Georgian Air Force is carrying out the inquiry under the supervision of the prosecutor's office. On the 17th of December, the CRRC hosted a Works in Progress talk about post-Soviet memory and public attitudes towards Stalin, comparing Russia and Georgia, and especially Gori. The researchers concluded that Stalin continues to play a large role in people's minds in both countries, but for different reasons. In Georgia, admiration of Stalin is largely explained by the fact that he's from Georgia. In Russia, it's more about ideological, political, and geostrategic thinking. They also found that at least in Georgia, sympathy for Stalin has grown in the past decade, that in the 80s, people in general had negative views about Stalin. By the way, Radharami, that's Romeo Alpha Delta Alpha Romeo Alpha Mike India.org, it's a publishing project with which I'm involved, is publishing a Georgian version of Bloodlands by Tim Snyder, which is a discussion of the murderous policies of Hitler and Stalin in Ukraine, Poland, and Belarus in that area in the 1920s, 30s, and during the Second World War. It's really the first serious Western history discussing Stalin to be translated into Georgian. Makes a great present. Everybody go pick one up. They're available at most bookstores and are cheap. Tulati. Two Georgian films, Corn Island and Tangerines, or Mandarinebi, have been nominated for Oscars in the foreign film category. Tangerines is also nominated for a Golden Globe in the best foreign film category. Prime Minister Khadabashvili announced on the 24th of December that reforms are starting on the prison ministry. No more information than that. On the 17th of December, 44 mosques were legally recognized by Georgia's Muslims by a decision of the State Commission on Religious Issues. According to Georgia's Muslim Department, there are more than 300 mosques in Georgia which are not registered and have no legal status. The fate of the disputed mosque in Moche has still not been decided. Earlier this December, Tel Aviv joined the UN's Making Cities Resilient campaign. The campaign has more than 2,400 members, which use the campaign's 10 essentials as a guide to reduce disaster risk. Tel Aviv City Mayor Platon Kalmachelidze explained that being part of the campaign would help Tel Aviv avoid the losses suffered as a result of the severe storm that hit in July 2012, which caused $123 million in direct economic losses for Tel Aviv. GILA, the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, has a new chairperson, legal expert Anna Natslishvili. She replaces Kaja Kozhuridze, who has held the position since 2012. She was previously GILA's parliamentary secretary. The government has launched talks on visa-free travel with Chile and Guatemala. Georgia introduced stiffer visa regulations that began on the 1st of December that abolished visa-free travel with 24 countries, including Chile and Guatemala. So, because the previous government had visa-free travel for these two countries, it needed to be canceled. But if granted by the new government, no problem at all, of course. Georgia and Russia will be present, will present their final arguments about the 2008 war to the European Court of Human Rights on the 31st of December, and after that, there'll be a hearing. Government is doubling funding for four religious denominations in Georgia apart from the Patriarchate. According to the State Agency for Religious Issues, four denominations are the Roman Catholic Church, the Armenian Apostolic Church, Islam, and Judaism. Beta Studio GDS will have a new show called Tiflisi. It's getting a lot of buzz. It's a historical drama taking place in the 19th century. The Korea Water Resources Corporation, known as K-Water, and the Georgian Partnership Fund are financing the construction of the Nenskra Hydroelectric Power Plant in Svaneti. It will cost about $1 billion. Each party will pay half. More than 100 IDP families were given new apartments as a New Year's gift in the Caspi municipality. The project of rehabilitating an old school hospital into an apartment was funded by the Municipal Development Fund and USAID. Throughout the project, 170 people were employed for the construction work, out of which half were locals. Parliament's Human Rights Committee discussed a petition launched on the 25th of November by various NGOs during a nationwide protest against violence against women. The petition has 6,500 signatures and was sent to the Prime Minister, Speaker of Parliament, and Chairman of the Supreme Court. The committee unanimously endorsed the petition's recommendations and promised to start planning on how to better protect women's rights. And on the 24th of December, Parliament unanimously ratified an agreement on Georgia's participation in the resolute support, a new NATO-led mission in Afghanistan. And a deputy from Otsneba and a deputy from the UNM got into a fight during an extra-parliamentary session and had to be separated by security officials. The Otsneba MP accused the UNM MP of continuing to spread lies, and that cannot be tolerated. So he punched him. In Kviti Saz Rebbe this week, artist Tamar Amashukeli spoke about the importance of cultural heritage. She recalls when about 25 years ago, Russia wanted to blow up David Gadejia Monastery, and all of Russian society united against it and saved it. And now in 2014, it's not an outside enemy trying to eliminate one of the country's ancient and important monuments, the Sakhtarysi gold mine, but the Georgian government itself. She says it started when BI became interested in Sakhtarysi. He made inquiries about it via the culture ministry, but it became clear that Sakhtarysi is a heritage site. The court banned any mining on the territory, but even with that, the new culture minister allowed it and somehow justified mining there, and they are fulfilling their task by BI. She says there is widespread consensus that Ivanishvili backs the company that's mining there, RMG Gold. Amashukeli says she's angry that parts of Georgia's history are being destroyed according to the whims of individuals. The meme this week is a video of BI during his interview with a public broadcaster. He's talking about his animals and about his shark. In case you didn't know, he's got a shark that's about a meter and a half long. Stuff to read. Nino Bakradze investigates for organized crime and corruption reporting project on the suspicious 2012 death of a park ranger in Borjomi National Park. As several law enforcement and judicial agencies ignore the evidence, it's great, relentless investigation. More of those needed. Great job, Nino. Tbilisi-based NGO Jumpstart has an infographic on how does gender affect your salary. Tbilisi is getting ready to host a TEDx in 2015, they're looking for speakers. It'll be in May. Take a look at TEDx Tbilisi. There's a nomination form if you know somebody connected to Georgia and the Caucasus who's a good speaker and has something to say. Latest article by TI Georgia, a listicle. Glad to see them doing listicles. 9 threats to your personal life stemming from the new legislation on secret wiretapping. Great list. Everyone check it out. Democracy and Freedom Watch has an interview with a young entrepreneur, Boris Kiknadze, who has his own startup charity that raises money for medical treatments. Georgian-born fashion photographer Victoria Janashvili has a project on breaking body image stereotypes in the fashion world. You can see some of her photographs online. You can also contribute to her Kickstarter project for her book if you're interested. There's a Bitcoin hardware vendor called Bitfury that just opened a major facility in Georgia that's a Bitcoin mining operation. I've heard they get free electricity. I'm wondering if any listeners have actually been there. I've heard it's near Gori, but don't know. So let us know if you can find hang out. All that stuff will be posted on the forum, stuff to read. This week's GeoCapital number is 50. This is Georgia's ranking out of 125 countries on the 2014 Corruption Perception Index, published by Transparency International. The results show that corruption perception level has remained stable in Georgia over the last 3 years, and there has been no significant progress or backsliding during this period of time. But Georgia ranks highest among the 19 countries of Eastern Europe and Central Asia. Announcements. Every day in Amidani Cinema, there are English screenings from the 25th to the 30th of December. They'll show Exodus, Gods and Kings, 3D at 7:30, and The Hobbit, Battle of Five Armies in 3D at 10:30. The exhibition Discovering Georgian Cinema that was in New York and California is coming to the Goethe Institute in Washington, D.C. They will screen Blue Mountains on the 12th of January at 6:30. Look it up on the Goethe Institute's Washington, D.C. page for other events. And if you know anybody in Washington, tell them to go to Blue Mountains on the 12th of January to see this fantastic movie. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tblpod, tblpod, at gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website at www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with the Red Army Chorus and Hark the Herald Angels Sing.